This is More Than Conquerors with your Bible teacher, Pastor Ray Hagestilianos. As a teaching pastor for almost 30 years, Pastor Ray's heart and vision is simply to build up God's army, enabling them to stand strong in their faith. As the senior pastor at Living Word Christian Church in White Plains, New York, Pastor Ray will challenge you today to begin your walk in integrity and victory, forever changing your life as transformed by the power of God. More Than Conquerors is supported by the generous gifts of listeners like you. You can find us online by going to livingwordchurch.org.
In a loveless world filled with unlovely people, why does God tell us to walk in love? If Jesus said that the second greatest commandment is to love one's neighbor as we would love ourselves, does that mean to simply do him no harm? Or should I bless him too? How should I respond to him being unloving towards me? Is this love a mere feeling, or is it something far more? And because God has made no man perfect, might walking in love with our neighbor sometimes be a difficult thing? In Pastor Ray's brand new two-week series, Loving Your Neighbor by Walking in Love, we'll see that this walk is all about building a powerful, unselfish, God-centered relationship, especially with one's neighbor, but ultimately with God. Over these next 2 weeks, Pastor Ray will take us step by step on a lifelong journey of how best to love God, your neighbor, and yourself by simply walking in love.
Sometimes you gotta love the unlovely. And it's hard. It's hard. So you can't just look and say, well, look what I did. I gave my tithe. I serve in the church. I do this. Aren't I expressing love? Maybe not. You might be, but you might not. It really depends on what's going on inside your heart. So we're going to see, because God gives us a definition of what love is, all right? So he says, profits mean nothing. Verse 4, he says, verse 3. So he said, again, let me read it again. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Nothing. All right. So verse 4 now, he starts to give us the definition of what love is. Are you ready for God's definition? All right, you ready? Are you really ready? Because you've read this 100 times, but are you really ready to really read it today and to meditate on a little bit and to push aside the junk that has clouded your brain? Number one, and I don't know why it starts this way, but I guess this is the way it starts, right? Verse 4, love suffers long. That means when you're walking in love, you got to put up with some stuff. Yeah. It means that love means that I'm patient. People act stupid, I'm patient. Amen. People do stupid things, I'm patient. Amen. People say things to me, I'm patient. Amen. Love suffers long. That means that sometimes you're going to be in a long battle, a long whatever, but you in it have got, if you're really walking in love, you are maintaining your love walk. Amen. Love, true love, puts up with a lot. Amen. True love does put up with a lot. And we'll get more into it as I said before, you should never become a doormat. You know, you shouldn't become a punching bag. If you're in an abusive relationship and you're being abused physically, you don't stay there and say, well, I'm walking the love walk. Hit me again. Oh, I'm walking a love walk. Give me another one. I love you. No, I'm going to love you, but I'm not going to live in the same house with you. I'm going to move somewhere far away to protect myself. But I'm going to deal with the ugly feelings that I have towards you, and I'm going to battle them out. I'm not just going to get angry and spit it out on you, on everybody else that knows you or about you or doesn't even know you. I'm going to suffer long and try to get this thing balanced in my own head. So love suffers long and is kind. Where is kindness in the world? Please, church, you are a Christian. You're supposed to be walking in love. And one of the definitions of love, the way God means love, is that we're to be kind. Just kind-hearted. Not gruff. Not ugly. Not grumbly, not grouchy, not snappy and snippy. But we're supposed to be kind, even when people aren't kind to us. As much as you want to, you just suck it up. I can't tell you the amount of times people have been sassy or whatever, and I'm like, under my breath, I'm thinking, man, I would just love to, I'd love to say something to you, but I'm a Christian. I'm a man of God. And Lord, forgive me for even thinking that for one second. Forgive me, oh God, for even thinking it for one second. Now I'm just gonna say, I love you, and I'm gonna suffer along with you. As jerky as you are, I'm gonna love you. Jerk and all, I'm gonna love you. Let me put my arms around you and love you. Yeah, I mean, sometimes people are very unkind. You've been out in the world, you know, I'm in places, you know, and people are just unkind. You go to a store. Did you ever go to a store and people are unkind and say the darndest things to you and snap at you? And you know, I say all that to say that love, you know, a lot of times people are going to push you right to the point of explosion or irritability. But if we're truly walking in the definition of God's definition of love, then love suffers long and it is kind. Where is kindness in the world? And it doesn't mean, listen, if your instant reaction is that you're uptight, you're like, you want to say something back, you know, that doesn't matter. What matters is the reaction that comes out of your mouth and out of your life. You get hold of it, because we're all battling the flesh. You get hold of it and you write it, you know, you make it right, and you come out and you say, look, are you having a bad day? Can I help you somehow? It's amazing how you do. So where is kindness in the world? I don't know what you do in the world. I don't know what your business is, or, you know, some of you, I know some, but not all. Whatever it is, do it with a kind heart. People are not all mean and ugly. And sometimes people are, you know, sometimes people, like, you go into a store or you go to a, you don't understand the lingo, you don't understand, you know, what you're supposed to do, or you're in a, be kind, be helpful. I love it when I go somewhere and I'm sort of looking lost, you know, like I don't know where something is, and somebody comes over, may I help you? Oh, yes, I'm just looking for this or that, you know. When I was on vacation, I went to a hardware store. It was a big hardware store, and I'm looking up and down. There was only one lady at the register. I couldn't find any help, and I was trying to find a bungee cord. Just a bungee cord, because I want to tie up my bike on my car. And I'm walking up and down the aisles. I looked everywhere, and I couldn't find a bungee cord. And all of a sudden, a man appeared in the nicest, sweetest way. He says, hey, can I help you? And I said, oh, man, yes. I just walked up and down. I'm looking for a bungee. Come here. And he took me right over, and he said, how far are you going to jump? I said, I'm not going to jump. So I thought, but he made me laugh, and we had a good chuckle together, and it made it such a pleasant experience. Where's kindness in the world? We as Christians ought to be demonstrating that kindness in the world wherever we are, right? So love suffers long, is kind. We've been at this for a half hour almost, and I haven't even gotten to. Okay, so love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Amen. Doesn't envy. Love just doesn't envy. And there's a lot of envy in the body of, it's in the world. People are, that's why there's wars and arguments and divorces and battles and friends that were once friends that aren't friends anymore because they get envious of one another. And envy is of the devil. Envy is just ugly. It's a poison. And we become envious because we see somebody who has something more than we do. We have no knowledge of how they got there. We have no knowledge of what they've been through. They have no knowledge of, you know, their life. And it really doesn't matter anyway. As it is in the body of Christ, that shouldn't even enter in. I've always looked at people in the body of Christ who lived and by the word of God and practiced the word by faith. I've always looked at people that were ahead of me, not with envy, but with inquisitiveness. How did you do, how, what did you do in your faith? Tell me, how did you get to this place? I want to know how they did it. I don't want to be envious of them. Envy, the Bible says, is like rottenness to your bones. And it's prevalent in the world, and it is in the church. I've seen it. I've seen people just be envious of one another. Well, you have more than I do. You know, you drive a nicer car. You wear nicer clothes. You have a husband I don't. You have a wife I don't. Getting envious of people, and envious is like rottenness to your bones, man. You can't envy. You can't envy. The Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen. So you see somebody with something, you know what I always did all my life? God, if you did it for them, you're going to do it for me. That's what I say. I've said it my whole life, and God's done it. God, if you'll do it for them, you're going to do it. You're no respecter of persons. See, I just go right back to the word. You're no respecter of persons. Therefore, what you've done for them, you'll do for me. Teach me something of what they've done so that I can do it. Right? That's why the Bible tells us to imitate those who through faith and patience are inheriting the promises of God. Let's see. Suffers long, is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. We don't walk around, you know, all puffed up. Look at me, look at me. No matter what it is that you've accomplished, no matter what, how many letters you have before or after your name, it doesn't matter your accomplishments, how many dollars you have in the bank or how wealthy you are. Love doesn't puff itself up to say, look at me, look at what I've accomplished, look how wonderful I am. You know, love seeks to be humble. And if anything, true love always is in a state of appreciation because you realize where you've come from. You realize when you didn't have, or maybe you didn't have to that level. Maybe you had something, but not to that level. And when you really come with a heart of true love towards others, you don't ever want someone else to feel bad because you maybe have something they want or need. If anything, you want to approach them with great humility and gentleness and prayer and encouragement. Listen, brother, if God, I know this is your way. If God did it for me, he's going to do it for you. I'm going to believe God with you. This is what I did. And you enumerate, you tell them, this is what I prayed this way, or I stood on these verses, or this is what I did. These are the natural things that I did. So true love is not puffed up. It doesn't walk around and, you know, feel so good about itself and always boasting about itself. True love doesn't do that. True love walks in humility. Amen. See, I'd rather be around a person who's humble. And I've been around some people who were very wealthy, but you would never even know it. Amen. You had no idea because they walked in such humility. My mother used to say, you know, they stick their chest out. Like, look how proud, look how wonderful I am. So true love doesn't envy. Love doesn't parade itself, and it's not puffed up. Amen. True love walks in absolute humility. Amen. Understanding that everything you are, everything you have, everything you ever hope to be is all God's doing in your life. Yes. And I don't know about you, I just walk around grateful. I'm like every morning I walk up, I say, I look around my house, I look, you know, at my food that I'm eating, every time I receive food, I'm just, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for providing this for me. Thank you for providing what you have provided. Not that I'm, you know, trying to puff myself up as a great example of love, but I'm just telling you that I totally know that everything that has happened in my life has been the hand of God. I truly know that. I truly know that. So it doesn't walk around puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. goes back to that, you know, being kind. It's just not rude. And I'm just amazed, even in the body of Christ, I can tell you stories of how people have been rude, just rude. Rude to workers in the church, children's workers, nursery workers, the parking lot people, just rude. And it's like, there's no place for that in the body of Christ. Either they're ignorant of the word of God or they're in total rebellion. Because to know the word and not do the word is to be rebellious. You know? You can't be rude. There are times I'm irritated. And listen, can we talk? All right? There have been a few times, you know, that maybe I've behaved rudely in a situation, but I was instantly convicted. And I had to go back and say, you know what? Let's play this again. Let's put this in rewind. Because I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it that way, or, you know, I was acting out of the flesh. You got to make it right. You know, let's not lose the art of making things right. All right? Let's not lose that art of just correcting things and making it right. True humility, when you make a mistake, just makes it right. Just says, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was doing. I made a mistake, whatever. I was acting like a jerk, having a bad day. Please forgive me. And you see, really, if you're really walking in love and humility, you're going to be totally twisted. You're going to feel like, oh, gosh, I really screwed up. I really messed up. Am I talking to anybody in this church? You see, the problem, the scary part is when a person doesn't feel that way and just keeps on going. Well, there's an issue. There's an issue. You got to get back to the word, and you got to study this stuff, and you got to ask God. You got to break down whatever barrier. When you're rude and you're nasty or you're ugly and you know it. Now, sometimes you don't know it. So, if you're a person that's acting rudely and nasty and you don't know it, and another brother who comes to you in or sister comes to you in love and say, "Brother, I just want to," and this is the way we should be operating in the body of Christ. Because what we want to do is we just like suck it up, shove it under the, let's put it under the rug. It'll go away, and it never goes away because it's eating at you because you never settled it. It's unfinished business, and until you finish it, it's going to be unfinished. It's going to be an open sore. So instead of, you know, if a brother has acted rudely and he probably wasn't aware of it, or maybe you took it wrong, then really what you ought to do as a responsible Christian, mature Christian, if you call yourself mature, if you are mature, you've been in the way, walking in the way for a while, then what you do is you go back to that brother and you simply say, or sister, and you say, look, can we just talk for a minute? The other day, this is on my heart and I just have to get it off. I love you, you're a good guy. I don't think you meant this, but this is how I took it. Can we just talk this out? And you work it out like mature adults. You don't suck it up, put it under the rug, and hope that it goes away, because it never goes away. It just doesn't go away. So, true love doesn't act rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. So true love doesn't always seek his own good. That's selfishness. There's no place in the body of Christ and life of a Christian for selfishness. It just doesn't work, right? It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. In other words, sometimes people are going to try to get you engaged in something, right? Because they want to see you act like a jerk. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's called the great setup. Don't be a fool and fall for the setup, because love is not provoked. So love just goes right back to love. Man, I love you. I'm not going there. I've had people do that with me, you know. And it's sort of a provocation, because they want me to agree with them about something, and they've got this whole head of steam. You know what this person did? Blah, 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 blah. And you know, right, Pastor? You know. Come on, tell them, you know. You've seen it. You know what we're talking about. I'm just going to respond back with love, like, okay, look, I know you're having a difference. Let's talk it out. You need to go back and work it out. This is how love operates. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. We love truth, right? bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8, love never fails. Then he goes through all these things about prophecies and so on and so forth, and that which is imperfect will fade away, and that which is perfect, you know, will come, so on and so forth. And he goes down to verse 13. We're going to stop right here. And he says, and now there abide faith, hope, and love. And he makes this great statement. And he said, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, wait. I don't really necessarily believe, this is where I'm just going to give it to you, that love is greater than faith and hope. I believe they're equal, but love is greater in this aspect. Love needs to be the manifest or the motivation behind everything we do. Love needs to be the motivation, so it is the highest and the greatest motivator, right? It should be what's motivating us in faith and in hope and in all that we do. So these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, because love is the greatest motivator. Everything that comes out of our lives as Christians ought to be love, and not by your definition of love or what you have concocted in your brain about what love is, but what we just read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what God says love is. That's why you need to meditate on it. That's why you need to think about it. That's why you need to put it into operation. You need to clean up your own life where you are unlovely. Fix it. Fix it. And in the process of fixing it, if you've made some mistakes or you make some mistakes, go back, repent, and make it right.
Amen.
Ask forgiveness.
Yeah.
Apologize. Shake the brother's hand, sister's hand, whatever it is. Suck it up. Humble yourself like you're supposed to, because Christians are supposed to be walking in humility.
Amen.
And get on with your life. And let it be a lesson. Please, if you seek one thing in your Christian experience and Christian life, be focused on walking in love. Walk in love. Meditate on 1 Corinthians 13. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your own life. Let Him reveal the things maybe in your own life that need to be exposed and need to be dealt with. Maybe it's rudeness. Maybe it's, you know, pride. Maybe it's, you know, judgment, criticism. Whatever it be, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Open your heart and say, Lord, show me in my life where I'm missing it in love, because I want to walk in love. It's the highest motivation. It's the highest and the greatest motivation. You are love. The Bible says God is love. I want to be walking the love walk. It's going to affect my faith for sure, because faith works through love. So help me.
Tune in tomorrow afternoon at 2 for More Than Conquerors with Pastor Ray. If today's message was a blessing to you, ask for your free CD of the broadcast for a gift of any amount to help support this radio ministry. Just mail your request with your check to More Than Conquerors, or MTC, P.O. Box 8187, White Plains, New York, 10602. Be sure to include the date of the message you're requesting. If ordering a complete Bible study series, a minimum love offering of $20 is appreciated. Identify the series and include the word series in your order. If you missed any of the hundreds of inspiring, life-changing Bible study messages of encouragement taught by Pastor Ray on this More Than Conquerors radio station, such as those on salvation, healing, miracles, faith, forgiveness, and many more, podcast downloads of all these programs are yours free of charge by simply going to PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com and clicking on Podcasts. That's podcasts at either PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com. Thank you for listening to and supporting this ministry of God-centered lessons of integrity and victory from the Word of God, and being ever mindful that, as life's challenges come, God's Word is truth and will always impact our lives in a positive way in making us more than conquerors.